I'm Michelle Pollino.
And I'm Michael Tamaro, I think, today. And
this you're not sure?
I'm not quite sure, Michelle. But one thing I am sure of.
What?
Women are
what
tough.
What are you playing? Ooh. Oh, I Am Woman.
From
I
Sex
Woman.
In the City 2. It's sort of appropriate as we kick off this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I love this version. Because the women of Hollywood have spoken up.
Oh, yes, they have.
As you have as well, Michelle.
Yes.
You are in that group.
Yes.
And you have been on a Twitter storm.
Oh, yeah.
A social media frenzy.
Yeah, without
since
a doubt.
All this. Obviously, we're talking about the Harvey Weinstein scandal that continues to grow by the day.
Did we say this is Take Two, the podcast that stops at the intersection of pop culture and politics and ponders?
We did not say that, Michelle, because I'm completely unprepared today.
But
I'm just
right.
laying it out there.
Well, this is really going to be about Harvey Weinstein and obviously one of the biggest scandals besides Bill Cosby and... gosh, there's so many scandals that come out of everywhere, every orifice of the United States
lately
that you can think of. But this is, I think, one of Hollywood's worst scandals. Covering up for Harvey Weinstein is one of the biggest tragedies I've ever seen in my life, and it continues to grow. And I do believe that it will get worse.
I think you're right. I think it seems like there's not a woman, an actress, or a potted plant who has not been on the receiving end of something disgusting from Harvey Weinstein.
You're right.
Over the last couple of decades in Hollywood. I don't mean to make light of it, Michelle, but humor is important in dealing with issues. And one of the things I found so interesting, a lot of people on the right, on our side, were saying, on my side, were saying, well, how come Hollywood is silent? How come the late night hosts are silent about this thing? How come it took Saturday Night Live so long to make jokes about this scandal? And my first thought was, well, it's not really that funny, quite frankly.
Well, it's not funny.
It's not funny.
But I want to say something to that fact. I think that it's completely lopsided and unfair because if this was a Fox...
I know where you're going with this. I don't disagree. I think people have to find their footing on how to approach this with humor. And I think we saw a couple of people stumble with it. Initially, James Corden being one. And you were in my head all weekend.
Aww.
You had the James Corden stuff. Because you said something, you made me aware of something last week that sort of stuck with me as I've been thinking about this whole... scandal and story and how we talk about it. And James Corden sort of stumbled upon it.
Yeah, okay. Here's the first thing he said.
Yeah.
Right here in L.A., it's so beautiful, Harvey Weinstein has already asked tonight up to his hotel to give him a massage.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't funny.
Well, there was another one that really sort of brought me back to what you had said on Wednesday. There was another joke.
Let's play that one.
It has been weird this week, though, hasn't it? Watching Harvey Weinstein in hot water. Ask any of the women who watched him take a bath. It's weird watching Harvey Weinstein
in hot water.
That's it?
Okay.
Because you... Last week, you read the statements from Meryl Streep, and we compared that to, I think, what Ben Affleck had written. And it was a very stark differences between how men and women view this issue.
Right. That's right.
And I think if you look at that joke... As a guy, he's saying, implying that if it was somehow Brad Pitt in the bathtub, it wouldn't be so offensive. Hmm. He's making a joke about the fact that he's physically gross.
He is physically gross.
And I'm like,
he does look like bubblegum wrapped in cat hair.
But that's sort of how a guy would sort of look at this, I think. Hmm. And I think that's sort of why it flopped and why it wasn't funny.
Interesting.
That's
something to ponder.
Something to ponder.
But I also, you know, since making that statement, in many ways, I didn't understand I really didn't understand the depth of knowledge that these men knew. Now, I was... In many ways, I was coming to Clooney's defense, but I'm going to now throw him down in the dirt and kick him a little bit because he knew. He knew. And what his statement was carefully, I'm sure his wife helped him with his statement, it was carefully written.
Yeah.
And how do I know that he knew, maybe, is what you're asking? Because
how do you know, Michelle? Because
in his statement, he made reference to, well, I heard women sleep with him or had slept with some women. And no, he knew full well the extent of this. And I'm going to tell you why, because he was very close, and it was Weinstein who gave him his literal second film career, because he had one early on and it died. And
big budget movies.
Right, big budget movies with From Dusk Till Dawn. Okay. Now, Scott Rosenberg penned a blistering Facebook post. I don't know if you remember Scott Rosenberg. He was around in his early days at Miramax. His career was literally...
He wrote Beautiful Girls.
That's right.
Great
and Things
movie.
To Do in Denver When You're Dead. Yeah. High Fidelity. He literally was given a career by Harvey. If you haven't looked this up or read it, I'm only going to read a little bit of it, but this will tell you exactly the truth.
Okay.
He wrote, Harvey and Bob made my first two movies. They signed me to an overall deal. They then bought that horror script of mine about the 10 plagues for a lot of money. They gave me my career. I'm skipping through this, okay?
Yeah.
I was barely 30. I was sure I struck gold. They loved me, these two brothers, who had reinvented cinema. I'm going to skip it down. Simply put, OG... Original Gangsta, Miramax was a blast. So yeah, I was there. And let me tell you one thing. Let's be perfectly clear about one thing. Everybody F word knew. Everybody knew. No, not that he was raping. No, that we never heard. But we were aware of a certain pattern of overly aggressive behavior that was rather dreadful. We knew about the man's hunger, his appetite, his fervor. There was nothing secret about his voracious rapacity. Mm-hmm. Like a gluttonous ogre out of the Brothers Grimm, all couched in vague promises of potential movie roles. But like I said... Everybody knew. And to me, if Harvey's behavior is the most reprehensible thing one can imagine, a not-so-distant second is the current flood of sanctimonious denial and condemnation that now crashes upon these shores of rectitude and gloppy tides of bull righteousness. Because guess what? Everybody knew. And how do I know? Because I was there. I saw you. I talked about it with you. You, the big producers. You, the big directors. You, the big agents. You, the big financiers. Oh, yes. You, the big rival studio chiefs. You, the big actors. You, the big actresses. You, the big models. Wait, it gets better. You, the big journalists. You, the big screenwriters. You, the big rock stars. You, the big restaurateurs. You, the big politicians. I saw you, all of you. God help me, I was there. So
I love how you read.
Thank you.
Do you do voiceovers?
I'm available for low rate.
For a reasonable fee.
So there it is.
I know you've been pushing this on social media, and I get wary of this sort of. It was an open secret, I am told.
So Meryl Streep lied. George Clooney lied. Ben Affleck lied. Matt Damon lied. I'm saying damn the Damon.
I think you just have to be a little careful when you start going out there like that. Because, look, I've lived in the eye of this hurricane here at Fox News. I have more people in the last 15 months say to me, how could you not have known about Roger Ailes? Well, I didn't. There's a lot of us who did not know.
You're right. I didn't.
And so you have to give people the benefit of the doubt. I get very little uneasy when some of our people are out there saying, Hollywood hypocrites, Hollywood hypocrites. Meryl Streep is a hypocrite. Glass Studios, folks, we all got to be very careful and responsible in the language and how we approach this story. And look,
all right.
The truth does come out.
Yeah.
It all comes out.
I hear what you're saying.
It's sort of a sensitive...
I hear what you're saying. I got one more point.
Okay, go.
I got one more point. Angie Everhart Okay.
Yeah.
She had a run-in with Mr. Weinstein. Okay. Here's what he did.
I was at the Cannes Film Festival. I was on a friend's boat. Harvey walked in front of me, took his pants down, did his thing, exited on the floor, if you know what I mean, pulled his pants back up, said, "You're a really nice girl. Don't tell anybody about this."
Okay. She did tell everybody. She told everybody. Hmm. Everybody.
Well, who's everybody? She told Clooney. Is that what you're telling me, Michelle?
I don't know.
Michelle.
You're right. But here's what she said next when Harvey Levin said, "This is a big thing that you just said, and you went and told everybody, you know, that was around you, and they told you, shh."
There isn't a single person who is anybody in this business that doesn't know that Harvey Weinstein has been like that. If they know Harvey, they know he's been like that.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So I rest my case. I don't know if they knew. I don't know. But
well,
it
look,
sure
we
seems
do know that,
that
Hollywood
way.
Does have a problem. This is not, you know, this is sort of the casting couch is as old as, you know, when Adam bit the apple. It all sort of went downhill from there.
Right.
But it's good that it's all sort of coming to light now. And this is not just a Hollywood problem. This was not just a Fox News problem, as a lot of people, my friends in Hollywood, were so high and sanctimonious about.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
But it's a societal problem.
Believe me. Anytime I post anything on social media, one of my friends starts attacking me for working at Fox.
Oh, I've watched that. You go right back at them, too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, well, first of all, I work on the West Coast. I don't know anybody in the New York office except for you. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I've never met them. Ever.
Yeah.
So...
We have to get a psychologist in probably next week or something to talk to about this sort of behavior. Because it's so weird. It's just, like, it occurred to me this morning as I was getting ready. I don't like to get dressed in front of my husband. Like, I don't want him to see me. And this guy who looks, and I'm sort of like in shape. I'm not like horrendous. I'm not,
right.
I'm 46, you know.
Yeah,
but this guy is like
so
Jabba the
gross.
Hutt, and it's gross. Like,
he's
what
so
is that
gross.
About?
Yeah, it's a power thing.
It is, right?
It's a power thing, for sure.
And just humiliating someone, I guess, thoroughly and completely.
Yeah. Well, it's all about I wield the power. I'm the daddy. And I think America has a daddy complex. I really do.
Interesting.
I really do.
We had an interesting story on Fox and Friends Weekend on Sunday. You know, the Boy Scouts have sort of made news that they'll be admitting girls.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, some people are, you know, outraged at the thought. And they had a woman on from the Federalist who was a little rude backstage, mm-hmm. by the way. And I was, mm-hmm. and she sort of offended some of the makeup artists. And she was sort of, you know, not nice to me. So... I was walking on set, I was talking to producers, and I said, by the way, who was so-and-so arguing for the 1950s to return? And someone said to me, what, you think girls should be allowed into the Boy Scouts? And I said, well, have you been reading the headlines and paying attention to the news? Mm-hmm. I said, clearly we have an issue with socializing our young men into adulthood and how they should behave. So maybe they need more women in their life, more feminine influence in their lives, because something is not working between mm-hmm. Harvey Weinstein and the rest of them.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And one of the other things that I can't, I'm not sure I like, and I've been trying to sit with it, because everybody's trying to now make a comparison that Weinstein is the same as President Trump, and I don't think so. I think he's closer to President Clinton. And if you want to make a comparison, I think that President Trump, where there's several harassment accusations, is the same as Ben Affleck, where I've seen several harassment allegations pop up ever since the Weinstein mm-hmm. debacle. So it's a weird kind of thing, and I'm still trying to adjust to figure out where it lies, the comparison. It's a gradient scale from harassment to rape, Do you know what I mean? And it's, I'm just trying to figure it out. And I'm not, I'm trying to not let politics get into it. But you see so many magazines, like I'm looking at a Variety article right now that was published today that says, and I quote, are Harvey Weinstein and Donald Trump the same person? They're the two most famous harassers of women in America. So
interesting.
I know. That's what I mean. It's like, and then, you know, somebody, of course, you know, points to a Wikipedia page where it's Donald Trump sexual misconduct allegations. So it's sexual misconduct allegations.
We tend to overlook a lot when our politics are at stake.
Right.
We did it with Bill Clinton and we did it again with Donald Trump.
Right.
This is, you know, look. Change is going to take time, and we're going to get there. I think we're going to get there a lot faster than people realize. Mm. One of the good things that come out of this scandal is people starting to talk about Hollywood's other open secret, which is abuse of underage actors.
Yeah, did you see the Barbara Walters?
With Corey Feldman?
Yeah.
I did. We should play it. I found her reaction sort of perplexing. Was she trying to shut him down? The headline said, you know, Barbara Walters shuts Corey Feldman down. But I didn't get that impression from watching it. Did you? She looked confused.
No, I didn't get that, in fact, at all. I didn't get that at all.
She looked a little confused and bewildered.
And I felt like Corey was trying to make a statement, but it felt awkward because I think Corey was like, listen, this is happening, and I don't know where else to put this. And Barbara's like, I don't know how to take that. But as a journalist, she should have, no? I mean,
yeah, and I think it's also
at the top of her game.
It's a topic, and I found myself this week because I was tweeting a lot like you, Michelle, because there was so much breaking. It was fast and furious, and trying to stay on top of it. And there's an ick factor. And on Sunday, I sort of hit that, like, ugh, I got to get out of this dark place. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just had to sort of step away from the whole thing. It's dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
it is dark.
It's sort of like you don't want to live there.
Right.
And this other open secret that we're talking about right now is dark, and it's, you know, it makes people very uncomfortable to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's finally going to have its day in Hollywood.
I think it will, too. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know...
It deserves several days.
Yeah, and you're really giving me, you know, pause, and I'm like, well, maybe I am being a little hard on him, but I kind of knew about Harvey. I did. Me. Michelle Bellino. Michelle Bellino.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I had heard through friends... You know, makeup artists. Mm-hmm. People on sets talk.
Oh my God, the makeup artist. If you ever want to know anything in this business, go talk to a makeup artist.
Right?
They know all
the dirt.
They do.
Right.
Oh my gosh. I am so surprised at how comfortable people get around them. It's just like my guard goes up and I'm close to a couple of them, but it's just like you tell them nothing. But
tell
they'll give
nothing.
You a hell of a lot.
Right. And so, you know what? You are right in many ways where sometimes these scandals blow up and they get larger than life and people get and big stars are like hearing things but they don't know for sure. So maybe that's it. But I wish they would be more honest.
I do too. And I think, and that's so, brings me to this next point I wanted to make. I think, you know, I was asked to go on Neil Cavuto today to do Coast to Coast and talk about Ben Affleck and the Justice League and, you know, is the franchise at risk and all this and all the allegations, some of the allegations that came up with him. And I sort of gave pause to it because it's very easy to do that kind of segment and go on and throw the mud and go into the weeds. And I'm like, I don't want to be in the weeds. Hmm. Now, this is a movie I'd like to cover in a couple of weeks, and we're hoping to cover it. And I was like, okay, how do I approach this responsibly? And I sort of gave pause, been talking to a lot of people today, and I sort of think I finally got my arms around it. But the fact is, you know, allegations were made. He's apologized. It's a sensitive time. You just sort of have to wait to see how all this unfolds. And there is a lot of crap that comes out.
Right.
With these sort of stories. There are some untruths that are alleged or people are accused of. There's that, too, which no one's... It's sort of like this pile-on. So you have to, you have to tread carefully. That's all I'm sort of saying, Michelle.
No, I agree with you.
So, Michelle, you know, Howard Stern has been off during all this. You know, I love listening to some Howard every morning on my way to work.
Yep.
So he finally weighed in on Harvey, who he had interviewed a couple of years ago at Harvey's behest. Harvey was emailing him constantly to get on the show to set the record straight about something. And Howard Stern, he knew, had asked him about the casting couch specifically. Mm-hmm. Harvey denied it, and Howard said he knew he was lying at the time. This is how it all played out.
We asked Harvey when he was in here. We did an interview with Harvey on the show, and I point blank asked him, I go, did you ever do the mogul thing? Let me see if I have the clip. I got to figure every starlet in Hollywood wanted at least you. You and, by the way, they don't want to blow him, but you know me, I'm massaging him into it. He's getting massages.
Please,
and
explain.
I'm,
now
I'm massaging. Yeah, exactly. I'm saying, did you ever get to experience the I'm going to say the mogul aspect? I mean, do a little coke, you know, hang out with Julia Roberts, give you something. You never got any.
Howard, as you know only too well, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't really.
No, I'll tell you who it works that way for. It works that way for the actors.
No, you know, come producers on. Every girl knows that if she's a competent actress, she could get on your good side. You could make her a star over night. Don't tell me it doesn't work.
Howard,
that way.
I wish the movies are too expensive. The risks are too great. It doesn't happen that
you
way.
You can't
anymore.
Walk into the room, pull your pants off, and say, okay, let's talk to
John Frankenheimer, you know, the great director,
yes,
told us stories about his day in the movies. This is, we were born way
wrong time.
We were born
way
too late.
Yeah, because I've read about the great moguls, like the Louis B. Mayers.
Those guys, yeah. Guys, I assume, but these guys, this round, nothing.
Really,
I hate to disappoint
it's
you.
It's not even fun anymore.
I know
anymore.
A few famous directors. I've asked them the same question. I knew he was lying.
That's a famous TMZ.
TMZ
has been on top of this like no one
else. They have.
Else. They've
no,
been fantastic.
That's where I got. Yeah. I have to say, Harvey Levin, thank you very much. Thanks, and I know you're listening.
And the other
because they've really been so on top of this. I do believe that Harvey Levin also knew, and I'm sure he wanted to break this story, but we'll see.
You have to wait till the right there's timing
more.
Is everything.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
There's more. There's more directors. I know rumors of others.
Oh,
okay.
Well, two things. One, I'm listening to that clip. My takeaway is, the movies are very expensive, but apparently they're not that hard to make because, I don't get, I shot a scene for Independence Day 2. It was a 14-hour day. When did the guy have time to do any of this?
No, believe me, there's always time.
Apparently there is.
Always.
Aye.
That's very interesting. I think another interesting reaction is Anthony Bourdain's reaction to Hillary Clinton's interview. That I actually put in my podcast, not my podcast, in my a blog on my website, michellepolino.com, and on Medium, got published on Medium.com, where Bourdain was, and I quote, disappointed. And he basically called Hillary Clinton a liar for saying that she was shocked and had no knowledge. He's like, what this woman is really, really smart. And she is full of worldly knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really upset. He called the interview disingenuous. And I think why he was so angry is because, I don't know if you know, but one of the women accusing Harvey is his girlfriend, Asia Argento.
Yeah, that's right.
She's a writer and filmmaker. Here, I just pulled up what he said. I have to say Hillary's interview with Fareed Zakaria was shameful in its deflection. And he says, know what Hillary Clinton is not? She's not stupid or unsophisticated about the world. The Weinstein stories had been out there for years. So it's like the kind of thing where when you hear this over and over again that everybody knew, I'm not justifying I'm like, how can people not know? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If and so for it's a thing where
Brad Pitt knew, okay? Brad Pitt knew, and he confronted Harvey directly. Above and beyond that, he can't do anything else.
No, you're right.
There's no like HR Central in Hollywood.
Well, that's the other part of that Scott Rosenberg article that I love.
Yeah.
He said that, and that's also another point that we need to bring up, because, you know, the media. Here's what he said. But, and this is as pathetic as it is true. What would you have had us do? Who were we to tell? The authorities? What authorities?
Mm-hmm.
The press? Harvey owned the press. The internet? There was no internet or reasonable facsimile thereof. Should we have called the police and said what? Should we have reached out to some fantasy attorney general of movie land? That didn't exist. Not to mention, most of the victims chose not to speak out, aside from sharing the grimy details with a close girlfriend or confidant. And if they discussed it with their reps, agents, and managers, who themselves feared the wrath of the big man, the agents and managers would tell them to keep it to themselves.
Yeah. It's a great point. Gets to the heart of how this has gone on so long and why people, you know.
Right. That's why it was a really, I was trying to get him on the air, but because I have a really good friend who repped him for a good time, and she reached out to him, and he was like, I didn't even want it in deadline. He's like, I just need to get it off my chest.
I'm glad he did, too.
Yeah.
So we have that. I think I'm good with this now, Michelle.
Okay.
I think I've reached my Harvey limit.
I think we
have to end on a positive note.
All right, let's do that.
So a movie coming out this Friday at theaters. This is when Hollywood is at its best, telling stories like this. Only the Brave. It's based on a true story of Granite Mountain hotshots and their heroic story of putting out this fire from hell, and sort of it's Josh Brolin, Miles Teller, Jeff Bridges, Taylor Kitsch, who came in studio yesterday for an a good Tuesday afternoon here at Fox when Taylor Kitsch stopped by and we got a little kitschy. I told him The Covenant is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah, he's a cutie.
And he just sort of rolled with it. And it also stars Jennifer Connelly. Saw the movie Monday night. It's fantastic. And we sort of lamented that, you know, Hollywood doesn't do more movies like this.
I agree.
And, you know, but
Only the Brave?
Only the Brave, this Friday in theaters near you.
This Friday. Great. For me, I'm obsessed with Mindhunters. I don't know if you
Never
saw
heard it. Of it.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan Groff stars in it. He's a,
I sat next to him at a dinner in Washington once.
Yeah.
We were all fighting over him.
Yeah, I'm sure. Jonathan Groff stars in it as one of the lead detectives based on the book. It's about getting into the mind of serial killers. It's so good. I'm a little obsessed about this stuff. I kind of love it. And it's really good. It's on Netflix. Just started streaming last weekend. It literally took over my everything. I was watching the Vietnam War. I dropped it. I was watching Ozark. I dropped it. All for Mindhunters.
I will have to check it out.
Yes, please.
I'm getting ready to binge on something new. I need something. So I'm like Ozark, or maybe I'll check that one out.
Yeah.
All right, Michelle.
All right, Michael.
Another week. Try and go easy on social media this weekend.
What? I just call it as I see it.
You do. Unlike the Philadelphia's coming out in Polino this
the
weekend.
The Philadelphia scrapper. It's who I am.
And that's why you love you. Where can people find you, Michelle Polino?
On Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn @ Michelle Polino.
That's right. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram @ Foxlight Michael, or catch my interview with Taylor Kitsch on Mornings with Maria.
Mornings with Maria on Fox Business Network. Thank you guys for listening to Fox News Radio. And take two, take us wherever you go.
Love that. What a way to go out, Michelle. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.